quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to. Hi, I'm Michelle, a mother of two teens. 13 years ago, I traded in punishments and rewards for connection. Now I prioritize relationship over behaviors, utilize play as a parenting tool, and set limits with empathy instead of consequences. Each week, I share my journey and interview clients, experts, and followers. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle and I have guests today, and Erica's joining us with kind of a story that she's sharing. I posted on Instagram, would anybody like to share? Does anybody have, you know, something they'd like to share about their journey or any question that they'd like to ask? And Erica had some great insight. And so I was really excited to have her on the show to explore that insight. So Erica, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Erica. My husband and I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I actually have been in the field working with children and families for 15 years prior to becoming a mom. And you would think that that would be a little bit of a smooth transition into motherhood, and it rocked my world and yeah. Was way more challenging than I imagined.
Yeah, I think I worked in public school for 13 years as a teacher and a counselor. And I don't think one moment of that helped me be a mom.
I often wonder if I almost got like burned out,
yeah.
You know, with children to the point where by the time my daughter came in my life, I was like, I'm already exhausted.
Yeah, me too. I think I was burnt out, but at the same time, I thought I knew so much about kids. I thought I knew so much about child development. I thought I knew about ages and stages. I thought I knew about attachment. I thought I knew all these things, and somehow falsely tucked myself into the fact that I thought I would be a good parent.
Yeah, 100%. It was like it almost caught me off guard. And that was why I was reacting so negatively to the experience.
Yeah. So tell me about your experience early on. What was it like, and what did you feel and go through?
Yeah, so even my journey to motherhood was long and intense. We adopted our daughter, and the adoption journey was long, and we had just a lot of traumatic experiences in that journey by the time our daughter came to us. So, but then, of course, she was just like this perfect, healthy, incredible baby, and everyone waited so long for her to be in our family that it just was euphoric, you know, for a few months until it wasn't anymore. And like it really settled in just how hard parenthood is. But I will say, I think an extra layer to being an adoptive parent is this pressure that you put on yourself to be a perfect parent, because we have an open adoption with her birth family. And so we know like what they were looking for and what they were hoping for her future. And you want to be all of that plus more, you know?
Yeah. And
it's not that they imagine that we would be perfect parents. Obviously, that's unrealistic. But in my head, that was like my standard that I created for myself.
Yeah. And I think society doesn't do us any favors in that realm either. Society says to us, You should know how to parent, and B, you should be really good at it just because you're a parent. And yeah. So they put that pressure on you, like you should have the well-behaved kid and they shouldn't be crying in public and they should be following the rules and doing all these things. And then you blame yourself when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when things got bad, what started happening in your home?
My fuse was so short. I think I just had a lot going on aside from motherhood, you know, health situations, work situations. My husband and I own our own business. So it's just a lot simultaneously happening while we're trying to balance a baby during COVID and, you know, balancing a new routine and a new schedule. And yeah, I just found myself very overwhelmed, very dysregulated. I was just snapping, and it just like, I think of it like like a pathway in my brain that just, I just kept going to because that's what I started to know and was comfortable with. So it was like, I was reacting like that quicker and quicker, the more that I did it, where I just found myself just like the tiniest little thing would just like, I'd have a big blow up, you know, or a big meltdown. And I was so disappointed in myself.
What was your family like? Did your one of your parents have a short fuse, or was there a lot of turmoil growing up?
I don't remember a lot of turmoil growing up as far as like, I don't have strong specific memories of my parents like yelling at me, but I can tell you that it probably wasn't as calm as I would like to see my household today, or that a lot of my friends are trying to create for their household, like that calmer atmosphere.
Were you expected to be good?
I am a perfectionist, like type A.
Me too.
So if it wasn't my parents, it was just me on myself.
Right.
And that was another thing with motherhood that I had to really come to terms with is I don't have control over most situations day to day, and I cannot have the day go perfect.
No.
That's just unrealistic.
No. And I think that's what us perfectionists, have you read my book?
No, I want to though.
It's all about that. That's what us perfectionists start to really lose it. Every moment that isn't perfect, right? Then we're like, what? No, you have to control you into behaving, into doing what I need you to do so that I can have this perfect thing in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Losing that control was scary. So I was trying to like rein it in anywhere I could.
Yeah. So was there a certain moment that you came to like a realization around your own dysregulation?
A year ago, we took a month-long vacation to Florida and we drove. And we did this drive that was our third long two-day drive with our daughter. And it was never great. it was hard. But it really was at like the worst coming home from our trip last year. And I just found myself in such a desperate place. I saw that a local resource was having parent classes and I like jumped on it and ironically got hired by this resource. And I now facilitate this parent class to other parents. So it was a combination of getting myself in these resources and coming to terms with things that I needed to work on in therapy and long conversations with my husband and just like brutally honest, vulnerable conversations that I would have never had with anyone else.
Yeah. What did you decide needed to change?
I definitely need to be way more aware of like when I am feeling dysregulated or overstimulated and be like proactive with that, like either just try to do something that's going to help me feel better or just communicate with my husband like, hey, today's not a good day. It's, I'm going to have to like step away for a little bit.
Tagging out. Yeah, that's so smart to do that. I know, and I don't know if you've listened to any of the podcasts where I talk about listening partnerships.
I want to. I have seen those pop up. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. I just say it for anybody listening and for yourself too. Like if you're part of the Peace and Parenting community or you're part of Hand in Hand Parenting community, we try to pair you up with a listening partner, meaning a person who just listens to you. It's like therapy, but almost even better because the person doesn't give you any advice. They just listen to you have your tantrum, talk about your childhood, get your feelings out. And we encourage people to do it once a week. And it really is a place to feel like calmer. Because you're taking on all these feelings, right? You're the feelings of being a mom, the feelings from your own child, the feelings of the pressure of work. And if you don't have a good outlet, it does make your fuse really short. And so I'd like to get you a listening partner. That would be amazing. It's amazing for anyone. Yeah. They're really good. We'll get you one. But I think every person should have one. The only problem is you have to be deeply into this idea of no punishments and rewards and like everyone, because everyone's kind of on the same page around it, but it's an incredible place. So let's do that for you.
And it's not about like necessarily giving advice to others. You're just listening.
No advice. In fact, we tell you not to, and you're not their friend. You're not having a chit chat. You're not talking about your kid went to baseball today. Like you're just listening.
Yeah. Even within this last year, I was so desperate to find someone, like anyone that would, besides my husband. And, you know, therapy was like what I was trying to figure out. And still to this day, I cannot, it's just been like roadblock after roadblock with like therapist.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to do this on my own. So
yeah,
I connected with your podcast and immediately it clicked with me. Something about refocusing my perspective on the connection with my daughter over anything. Like that should be the most important thing in my life. And it wasn't, right. You know, I wasn't prioritizing my relationship with her.
Yeah. I felt the same way for years. But when it clicks like that, when you could be like, oh my gosh, I'm focusing on being a perfectionist. I'm focused on behavior. I'm focusing on getting things done. I'm focusing on all these things. And when you can shift that focus, it's like almost enough to just shift the ethos in your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. Before we dive into the next segment, a quick shout out to our fantastic sponsors who make this free podcast possible. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula, which includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients, including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice-to-text feature. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used MyLifeInABook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. Okay, back to the episode. So you made the change a year ago. How do you feel now?
I'm so much happier and confident, like in my relationship with her. Cause I was just like every day, every time I had my little mom tantrum or meltdown or whatever you want to call it, I would like hold that guilt that whole day.
Yeah.
And just kept worrying that things were never going to get better. You know, that I was just going to have a blow up like every day, you know?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, obviously we have our moments still. The blowups are not as big between her and I. I should add, I'm a Scorpio and she's a Scorpio. And so we're very strong-willed.
Pia is a Scorpio. My Pia is a Scorpio. She's strong too. Quiet and strong.
So, you know, like having a daughter that her birthday is 3 days before mine, like we're so similar. So we do, you know, we do butt heads, and she's only three, but like she communicates really clearly what she needs. So yeah, so our relationship is so much more like just nurturing and loving. And I put her to bed every night. And if we did have a bad day, we talk about it. And I apologize, you know, if I felt like I was too snappy that day, you know, and we talk through it and it like repairs so that we can start fresh the next day.
Yeah, that's so good. So now looking back on it, because I know in our messages, you talked about the guilt. Tell me about the guilt. What does it feel like?
just thinking back to a year ago on that vacation, I felt like I was in such a bad mood with everyone that I practically ruined our vacation, you know? And that's the guilt that I feel, is if I just was in a better headspace or had a better perspective of how amazing it is that we get to be on vacation for a whole month together versus focusing on all the challenging things that were happening, you know, we would have just had like a better memory of it.
I think too, Erica, isn't that life and being human? Isn't that part of the human experience? And don't you think your husband and your daughter are going to put you guys in those kind of spaces at some point too?
Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard when you're a perfectionist like us.
Because I don't want to make those mistakes. I keep track of them.
Well, that's the thing too. And let's go there. I think that's a really good conversation. It's like, if we are so disallowing of mistakes for ourselves, also, are we disallowing other people to make mistakes, or are we keeping track over there too? And is it a place where we can just say, can we let go of mistakes being bad?
Yeah, that's huge, because I don't want my daughter to think that every time she makes a mistake that I'm keeping track of that.
Right. And it's like, if we are doing it to ourselves, we might not consciously be doing it elsewhere, but it's in there because it's part of our fiber. It's part of our judgment. It's part of our whatever. Listen, I'm no better, but I have gotten better. I've been doing this for 13 years though. So let's hope I got better. If I didn't, then I need to find a new job. But I think that's the thing. Like, can we say mistakes are good? There are places where, look what happened. Look what came out of your mistake.
Yeah, this like raw, intimate relationship. My daughter or my husband brought that up. He was like, do you think our relationship with all of us would be as like intimate as it is if we didn't have those rough time periods? And I was like, the perfectionist in me is like, I don't know, maybe it'd be better. But no, he's probably onto something with that.
Yeah, I think he is. And you're going to have moments like that again.
Oh, yeah.
And so we can't beat ourselves up, because I think for me, what I used to do is I would beat myself up and then I would go to shame. Mm-hmm. And then I would try to be even a more perfect perfectionist in order to avoid the shame. So then I was like, oh, I'm going to be the perfect connected parent. Like, I'm going to do everything right. I'm never going to mess up. I'm going to do special time and empathy and this and that, and just go deep, deep into it. And still, even in those early days when I messed up, I beat myself up. And then when I went to the shame, it led me to be dysregulated, because I was in such a bad emotional state that even being connected to my kids, I was still in that shame loop.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah. You're not the only one. I know there's so many of us who operate that way. And I wonder too, is the shame from this idea from, I know for me, from my childhood, it was like, I was expected to be good. It wasn't like I was totally, you know, it was an explicit, but I was expected to be good and I was given accolades when I was good. And so somewhere in me, when I'm bad, I beat myself up.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely something to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a beautiful thing that you had a bad trip.
it definitely took me to my breaking point.
Good.
Yeah.
That's where you needed to be.
Yeah. It was a wake up call for sure.
Yeah. And no need to beat ourselves up around that, because you made lemonade out of lemons.
Lemons, yep.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to take basically the same trip in a couple weeks. Not as long. We learned our lesson with that. And so now I'm excited with the opportunity to hit like redo. Let's make this one better.
Or what if it isn't?
We might have some rough moments.
Yeah. And what if it's, you know, what if you have terrible moments that are really, really hard? And are they that terrible? Or are they just part of life?
Right. Yeah.
Readjusting our expectations.
I tend to freak out about the things that aren't that big of a deal.
Yeah. Which things?
Like this, you know, if the sleep is bad, like when we switch resorts, like, of course it is. She's going to have a rough transition. But I'm like in my head, like, oh no, we all need to get sleep so we can go to Disney the next morning. And I get like all worked up.
In your head. And then we get tight, right? And then we get controlling. Like, you have to go to sleep. It's time. It's right now. It's 8 o'clock. You can't be up, you know, and then we get into that place. Yeah, I think having zero expectations in parenting is like one of the best pieces of advice we can give ourselves.
Yeah, because then you'll just be pleasantly surprised.
That's exactly right.
It goes well.
And they never sleep well when they're somewhere else. That's just, it's hard when they're little. Even when they're big, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say to people who are feeling frustrated or have a short fuse and, you know, maybe are teetering on this traditional parenting? And what do you say to them? What's your advice?
Self-care is huge.
Yeah.
Trying to recognize when you're on that trajectory before it's like you hit your breaking point.
Yeah.
Just being like super self-aware and asking for help. Like you'd be surprised how many of your friends, even though they're moms as well, would be willing to like hang out with your kid for a couple hours while you go grocery shopping by yourself. I had to learn like, oh, I can ask. We have a great support system here, but I just realized I could ask for more help.
Yeah. And people like to do it. And then you get to reciprocate. And then that's such a beautiful thing too. Yeah.
Yeah.
We always had this little girl across the street. She was not always, but when the kids were little, she was 12. And she would come over and for $10, she would stay for 2 hours and play with the kids. So I took naps sometimes. I made dinner sometimes. I was in the house, but she played with them. And so for $10, I was like, this is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Reminded me, we had a mama helper. When her daughter was still home with us. And we haven't had her come over in a while. Maybe I should.
Yes, you should. Once a week. Yeah, so good. Erica, thank you for sharing your journey and your story. And thank you for listening to the podcast. I so do appreciate it. It is a lovely little place, I think, for information for people.
Oh, yeah. It's been huge for me.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I really appreciate you being here, and I will catch up with you guys next time.